Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. What's up, Cass? We are live on Blog Talk Radio right now. I'm getting everything set up for YouTube. Yeah, they heard you. Yeah, but I mean, you said hello. That's nice, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but it was in a creepy fashion, out of nowhere kind of way.
So they know how creepy you are behind the scenes. So we're just breaking down that fourth wall, then. That's all that is. Alrighty, we're gonna get things started really quickly.
There you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the PWF Empire podcast. Jay here along with Cass, and it is Friday. Lord have mercy. Yes, it is Friday. The weekend has arrived.
You have no idea.
Oh, I have an idea. This week has been rough. It's been a fun and very, I feel accomplished this week, but
yeah,
you know, with accomplishments, you know, you have the hard work behind it, and I'm tired.
Now. I'm tired. I'm frustrated. I'm aggravated. Let me tell you, you say you've had a rough week. I've had a rough week.
Oh, I haven't had a rough week. I've just had a very taxing week. I was back in the command center today. I had some good stuff, like the 24 command center. It was fun.
The text thing. You mean the one that we were talking about the other night that I just went along with the conversation, and then I didn't realize until the next day I realized and I found out what a W-2 was for the first time?
No, not at all. No, we'll talk about it later. But yes, we have Elimination Chamber to discuss tonight.
One of my favorite pay-per-views.
Yes. I am so glad that Elimination Chamber is back in between the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I've said before that I am not a fan of these themed pay-per-views like TLC,
yes.
Money in the Bank, and
get rid of
stuff
TLC.
Like that. Yeah, Hell in a Cell, of course, that's like number one on the friggin' list.
Get
but
rid of it.
I love the Elimination Chamber. I really do, because it doesn't bog you down with like some one-on-one match on the road to WrestleMania. Cause a lot of the times you get stuff like this and it could possibly be filler, or, you know, it doesn't really matter much, or it could kind of get you off track. And then WWE has to do like this breakneck turn into WrestleMania. With the Elimination Chamber, you are provided with the opportunity to get a very entertaining match with a different concept, and you get a lot of people in there, and there are many storylines that could spin out of that match. And I just think that it's a fun stop on the road to WrestleMania. So I'm really glad that the Elimination Chamber is back, and this time, and it going over to SmackDown.
Thank goodness.
Currently. Yeah. I looked at the competitors in the Elimination Chamber match.
I like them.
When they announced it, I was like, yes, I cannot friggin' wait for this match. It's like, it's really, really stacked. It really is.
Yeah, you know, it's like, I also hear a lot of people say that having pay-per-views in between Mania can somewhat be a bad thing, because, it was Sean Ross sat from Fightful. He actually mentioned this a few times on how, like, he would hate the fact that 30 guys would compete in the Rumble match, but yet six of those would get a title shot weeks later. And I can see his point on that, because it's kind of contrived, because it's like, why would you compete in the Rumble? Why not just take your chance at the Elimination Chamber and just go to WrestleMania that way? But I get to his point. But yeah, I personally do like the fact that Elimination Chamber is between WrestleMania and the Royal Rumble, because it provides one opportunity, and plus WWE likes to change stories all the time. And what this, what Elimination Chamber provides you is the fact that you could have a Mania match made after that, or you could have a championship run with somebody out of nowhere, and then you can give them a little run. So it just provides more storytelling, and not to mention the concept of it. Like,
yeah,
Thank you, Eric Bischoff. But I heard that
it's
supposed to be a new chamber.
Triple H,
yeah,
the legit creator of the Elimination Chamber is Triple H. Eric Bischoff just introduced it on screen. But going back to your comment from someone else talking about why not just take your chances in the Elimination Chamber, that does not make sense within the WWE universe, because the Elimination Chamber is supposed to be some barbaric structure that could wreak havoc on someone's body, and it could take time off of their careers. To say that, okay, I'm not going to compete in the Royal Rumble, where all you have to do to lose that match is get thrown over the top rope. Hell, you don't even need to get hurt in that one. But in the Elimination Chamber, there's so much risk from a violence standpoint and for, you know, bodily harm to be inflicted on you. So when I hear, oh, take your chances in the chamber, no, because, hell, look at Randy Orton. In talking specifically about the characters, the fictional universe of WWE, Randy Orton is sitting pretty right now. He doesn't have to compete in the Elimination Chamber because he won the Royal Rumble. The Royal Rumble versus the Elimination Chamber, the Royal Rumble, that's the easier option. So I understand why someone, a character, would want to compete in the Royal Rumble and avoid the Elimination Chamber altogether. So if you kind of look at it from the in-universe perspective, the Elimination Chamber is a bit of a punishment. It's like, okay, well, you didn't win the Royal Rumble, so here's what we're going to do.
You know, stuff
it out in here.
Yeah, you know what's great about it is the fact that this year, this is the first time that we've gotten Elimination Chamber since the 2015 special on the network, because that was the last time we had gotten it. So it's been a while since we've seen this match, so it's good to see it back. So let's get into this.
Weren't there multiple matches on that show?
Yes, but
multiple Elimination Chambers?
No, there was only one.
There was one Elimination Chamber show that they did pretty recently where it was multiple ones. And was it like a tag team Elimination Chamber?
Oh, yeah. The tag team Elimination Chamber match, and then the match for the vacant IC Championship inside the chamber.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was in 2015. I remember that IC Elimination Chamber. That fucking sucked. But I'm glad that they're down to one now. So, let's go ahead and start off with one of the three women's matches taking place, which is surprising to me because, well, I guess if you look at the way that SmackDown is and the stories that they've told on a week-to-week basis, it's not really surprising if you've been, like, paying attention, but it's just like, well, damn, we've gotten to this point now where there are three women's matches. And I was thinking to myself, okay, well, something is crazy is going on here. Like, they're not going to have all three of these matches on the main show. But apparently, they will be, because I just checked the card for Elimination Chamber, and Mojo Rawley versus Curt Hawkins, that's going to be the pre-show match. So, yeah.
It deserves to be on the pre-show.
The three women's matches, let's start with the first one we're going to be discussing. Nikki Bella versus Natalya. Now, the go-home build-up for this one was them
doing
these. They were in separate places via satellite.
No, they weren't.
But, yeah, no, you know they were sitting in the same damn room, like in all actuality.
That was a little lighting.
But, yeah, as far as, you know, what they wanted us to believe, they were in separate places via satellite, and an interview was being conducted with both of them at the same time. Now, I like Nikki. That's my homegirl. Natalya, I like Nikki. Okay.
These women cannot act.
They are terrible actors. They really are. Man, this was kind of...
Stop using that Trump card. Yes, they are.
But yeah, this match though, this feud has been very physical, and finally getting these two in a match. Aside from some very questionable acting and questionable.
Some.
What? Okay.
Really? Some.
Most, maybe all, but yeah, the match though. This could possibly be a good match.
Oh yeah, I think in ring wise, we all know that the match is gonna be fine. I really don't get the premise or the purpose of this feud. I really don't, because it's honestly like it's almost like the Carmella and Nikki Bella feud. They just took Carmella out because Natalya is still attacking Nikki, which is what Carmella was doing. It's like they took the same feud and they just put Natalya in that slot. And again, no offense to both these women, but it's just they have proven that. Like, here's the thing: when you know they're not acting right, you can't get into the story well. And it's just like, and honestly, again, I'm gonna ask this question: like, what is this really about? Because pretty much what we've seen is just like Natalya saying the same things about Nikki Bella over and over again. And you can even hear in some of those promos that they were doing were almost repeating. Mm-hmm. Like, they were the same words, just reworded every single week from a script. And that little segment from the go-home show that they tried to do was just absolutely horrendous. I'm sorry. And you knew they were in the same place because of the lighting situation. Like, you knew they were sitting beside each other, so I'm not even buying that. But yeah, in ring wise, I think it's gonna be the best women's match on the show. I'm gonna go with Nikki Bella for the win, because I just don't see what you do with Natalya with this win. And plus, Nikki Bella needs to be protected, in my opinion.
Well, the best women's match, I don't know about that one. We got another one that I won't even necessarily say it's competition. It might run away with it, but we'll get there, though. As far as Nikki Bella and Natalya are concerned, I did like the build-up that they had on Talking Smack with Natalya attacking Nikki. That was a pretty nice attack.
That's pretty much all it's been, and that's pretty much all you need to see from this whole thing is the attacks. And honestly, I don't know about you, but I felt that Nikki Bella's character has honestly looked really dumb throughout this last month.
I'm ready for her to move on from this John Cena stuff.
Yeah, it's really getting tired. And plus, it's not helping. It really isn't helping Nikki Bella, because, like, seriously, Nikki Bella is pretty much looking like her character is looking like an idiot every single week. You really need to watch her back. And you just don't see that, Nikki Bella. You're not protecting her character, in my opinion.
Okay, we are going to move on to the next match. This is...
Oh, yeah.
American Alpha. And a tag team turmoil match. with their titles on the line, they're going to be facing Heath Slater and Rhino, Breeze Zango, the Usos, Ascension, and the Vaude Villains.
Good God, oh my!
I mean, this is your tag team division, right? You're a big tag team fan.
Oh yeah, it's my division, but it's just like, I'm going to say, as American Alpha they have not felt like champions. They haven't been treated like champions. Like, I felt as if the point to put the belts on American Alpha so you could repair the damage that you did to them when you first brought them up to the main roster. Now that they're champions, I mean, these guys weren't even at the Royal Rumble on the event. And it's like, they only defended the titles once. Even before the Rumble, you didn't really have them appear at all. So it's just, I feel as if American Alpha, and this is further proves my point, I don't think they should have won the belts when they did, even though they had to change the plans. But you stick American Alpha with these guys, like, they look like, I mean, seriously, like, unfortunately, look at the division. While I do think it's good, and it's definitely got a lot of teams that they can get better, SmackDown just doesn't get behind most of them. And when you don't get behind a lot of the people in your division, then it's like when you actually put these guys in front of the challengers in whatever division that they're in, it's like there's only like one or two challengers. And honestly, I would have just left this American Alpha and the Usos, because when you put American Alpha with these jabronis, unfortunately, it brings their level down. So it's like, I'll go with American Alpha for the win, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Usos brought it up, because you need a heel. You need a heel team to win. You need a heel team right now, because American Alpha, we saw, Jay, we saw when they were the NXT Tag Team Champions. They didn't do much with them after they had won the belts. So this just proves that they're a great chase. So, yeah, I'll go with American Alpha for the win, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was the Usos.
Yeah, when they did that segment that basically created this tag team turmoil when American Alpha had the open challenge, I think that the first team to come out was the Usos.
And then...
when that happened – no, but let's put the other stuff to the side for, you know, first. Let me say this. When the Usos came out, I was like, all right, here we go. Let's do this, because we know that they had the whole angle where the Usos injured Chad Gable when the Usos were red hot after they turned heel. And
but they had them lose.
They were firing on all cylinders then. So I looked at that segment when the Usos came out first. I was like, okay, they're about to start picking up this feud between American Alpha and the Usos again. And then everybody else came out. And where American Alpha stands right now, you could tell that they're the booking.
They're just champions.
They're flying by the seat of their pants. They have no plan for American Alpha, and it just doesn't come off well for them. Of course, I like seeing them. I like seeing them compete in the ring. They're great, but you can tell that there's no solid plan for what they want these guys to accomplish as champions, and that is going to hurt them in the long run, because no matter how good they are, if they're not doing anything of substance, then it's just not going to click. And I'll agree with you and when you said that maybe they shouldn't have won the titles, because even that moment kind of came out of nowhere. It was a good match, but with a team like that, you want to build up some momentum to that point. And it was just like, okay, wow.
Also, before they had won the belts, they didn't protect them enough. Like, that's a team that they really should have protected, but it was like, I know that the Usos were feeding with American Alpha, and the Usos were probably the best team to beat them, but you beat them too early. And then you had them on the pre-show a lot of the times. And get this, watch them if they retain. Watch their butts be on the WrestleMania pre-show, because I guarantee you that there's probably going to be a lot of championship matches. And honestly, real quick, this actually goes the same way for the Raw Tag Team Division when you think about it, because it's like, you have heel champions, but it's just like, there's only like one or two teams in that certain division that matter, and then the rest are just comedy or joke characters. So it's just like, it's not a good place.
Sounds like the main event scene too.
Yeah, but real quick, Q was saying in the chat. Yeah, there you go. Q was saying in the chat, Alpha and Usos feud would have some really good matches. I agree, but the problem is, for some reason, they're holding off on this feud. For some reason, they're holding off on it, and I know that there are no plans to call the Revival anytime soon, because I heard they're not even on the tier list at the Performance Center, and I think I know why. But honestly, when the Revival gets ready, bring them to SmackDown so we can get a credible tag team division.
Okay, I'm going to go with the Usos for this one too. Not because I think they're going to win, because one thing you guys need to know about me, and I don't know if you caught on throughout all of these years that I've been on YouTube, but I do not give a rat's ass about predictions. I say that is because that a lot of the times when it comes to predictions, I have to lock myself to WWE logic. So you get into a situation where you're like, okay, well, what would the creative team of WWE do at this point? That's not the type of guy that I am. I'm the type of guy, I look into, you know, momentum, character moments, and, you know, what can lead up to something, you know, better in the future. So that when I say the Usos for the victory here, I'm not saying it because I think they're going to win. I'm saying it because basically what Cass said, you put the Usos as those, you know, hot ass heel champions, have American Alpha chase them, then that could get us some good stuff, and that could possibly get this tag team division on track. So that's why I picked the Usos for the victory here. Next match we're going to be discussing is Becky Lynch versus Mickie James. They were good part stuff. Of a contract signing on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Nice segment. Mickie.
Oh, yeah, it was.
She cut a damn good promo. Becky Lynch, that was a really good response from her. Yeah, when I was talking earlier about a match that could run away with the top women's match of the night,
yeah.
I was talking about this one here, Becky Lynch versus Mickie James. This could be some really good stuff.
I have no doubt, but it's kind of interesting the way they've been using Mickie James since she has been back. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's good to see Mickie James back on SmackDown because, again, adding Mickie James to that division automatically gives that division a lot of credibility. Just with her there, I think we still got to wait to see, like, what they plan on doing Mickie James because, let's just face it, she's only been back for about a month now. So it's like we still got to give time for her to adjust. I don't know about you, but I actually thought Mickie James promo, while I thought it was good, it was a bit slow for my liking.
I hate how she does that little thing where she
That's like Charlotte
her, level. Her S's, she does this.
Yeah, that's like Charlotte level promo.
I hate that, but the content and everything else except for those damn S's was good. If she would stop that, she'd be top-notch, wonderful.
Oh yeah, and definitely. It's like, I'm glad that they're again. I'm really happy because this definitely proves that SmackDown actually uses their women. They don't like have a certain like two or three women that they, even though they're not using, they just don't like dumb them down the card. Like you put them in a program, and if you want them to be in a championship picture, you at least give them something. So it's like, it's not like when you took Sasha Banks off TV for that. For the last couple of months, even after she got injured, you decided to keep her off TV because you felt as if you wanted to protect her. But when she got to facing the women's champion at that time, it was like, why is Sasha Banks getting a title shot when we haven't seen her get any momentum? So at least you're giving these women a secondary feud to be a part of. And I'll be honest with you, since the heels were standing tall, that dual contract signing, I'll go with Mickie James for the win because Mickie honestly needs a win. Just to establish just the fact that she's back, and real quick, contract signings are one of the most overplayed cliches in the world of wrestling. I'm sorry,
and like I tweeted you, I 100% agree. But for me, like, I'll acknowledge that, but I won't let it affect my enjoyment of the segment.
Yeah, I got you.
Because when I saw that, I thought it was a damn good segment. I love the energy from everyone. I love the narratives that have been built up by each of the women. And Mickie James, the fact that she is a veteran coming back from a different generation of wrestling to attack this idea of the women's revolution, I love that. And I was kind of questioning at first, why is she coming back a heel? Because she's a legend in women's wrestling, and you want to take advantage of that. She could go out there, she could get a pop, and everybody is going to love her, all of that wonderful stuff. Why would they bring her back as a heel? Her telling the story that she's telling, that's so very necessary, and it does – like, that hits me. It does something, because every single thing that she's saying, it has merit to it, because women's wrestling didn't start with the Four Horsewomen. Mickie James was in the ring with Trish Stratus and, you know,
Beth
this person
Phoenix.
That person tearing it up. She was tearing it up. So yeah, her coming back and, you know, saying that, you know, I created you, Becky, and I'm going to destroy you. I love that. And I, once again, I'm on your side with the pick for the win. I think that we need to establish that, Mickie's back.
Yeah,
Mickie's back for the win.
Yeah, and another good point about that is just the sheer fact of WWE, how often do we ask for continuity, and how much do we ask for things to make sense? At least with this, it makes enough sense to where it's where the fans are thinking, because honestly, most of it is technically true.
Mm-hmm.
They just like really glossed them over. And again, Mickie James was just unfortunately part of that, the D word that we will not mention on this damn podcast ever again. She was just under that era, and you had women like Mickie James, Trish Stratus, Beth Phoenix, Michelle McCool, Melina, even Molly Holly. You had women on there. They were just unfortunately under that banner. So yeah. Oh, even Tara. I'm just gonna go. I'm just gonna go with Victoria.
Or Victoria. Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. Let's move over to the other side of that contract signing: Alexa Bliss versus Naomi. This
she's
is a match
so
that has, with the title on the line. When you say she's so great, which one are you talking about?
Alexa Bliss. Every single week, I can see she is getting more comfortable. She is getting better and better and better, and it is so phenomenal to watch. Because here's the thing: you want to talk about NXT breakout star of the year? Give that Billie Kay, Peyton Royce, get y'all's asses off, and give it back to
get your monkey ass off the call.
Yeah, and give it to Alexa Bliss because honestly, I honestly think Alexa Bliss is breakout star even surpassing the male NXT wrestlers because she takes her position and she owns it. She's confident about it and she knows what she's doing. And her as the champ, like, get this. I guarantee you, I feel as if Alexa Bliss, once she gets more seasoning, she can be that heel champion that all she needs to do is just win. And that automatically is enough to get her heat. So when a babyface finally beats her, that babyface is probably going to be supremely over if they keep booking her the way they are.
Yeah, I got to give credit where credit is due. For the character that Alexa Bliss plays, she's pitch perfect. She does every single thing that she does plays so well into that character. And I love this little thing that she does. Like, you'll see it on Talking Smack, or you'll see it on SmackDown sometimes too, where somebody will say something and she'll go from that smiling little cutesy face to like the super bitchy face in a split second. She's like the reverse version of a Sour Patch Kid. She's sweet on the outside but sour on the inside, and she does a great job at playing that character. So I'll give her credit there. You could tell that she, like you said, she needs some seasoning. She still needs to be polished up. But the fact that they gave her the women's championship and they had confidence enough in her to go out there and do something with it, I admire that. I like that they took that chance with Alexa Bliss. And as far as Naomi is concerned,
her in-ring work has gotten much better. I will say that. Like, I've enjoyed
it. It really has. She has definitely stepped her game up, and just her overall character. She's damn good at her character too. I think that what Naomi would benefit from is having a legit you to where you could put some substance behind some of the things that she says, because you'll hear her talking about feeling the glow, and she says very, like, she says like very generalized statements and things like that. You put some substance behind a feud with her and you can get some magic out of Naomi. I did not see that six woman tag match that took place on the pre-show of the Royal Rumble, but apparently Naomi tore it up in that match. I've been seeing great things about her, and I saw the tag match not too long ago on SmackDown. We've reached a point where Naomi is the best hot tag in WWE. And I'm like, okay, I can rock with that. I can rock with Naomi being the best hot tag in WWE. But I would like to see Naomi win this match.
She were like.
Because, hell, they took a chance with Alexa Bliss. Go ahead, take a chance with Naomi. I want to see the women's championship feel the glow. I want to see it.
Jay, I'm sorry, but the thing about it is, and somebody in the chat mentioned it, the fact that, honestly, Naomi's title shot pretty much really is, and I know it, because even though Naomi was injured, but she has been gone for quite a bit, and honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing Naomi hold the belt too, but it's like, even when you are injured, if you're off TV and then all of a sudden you're in a championship match, unless you are a major star, I don't want to see you win that championship. But if they can build you up to the point to where after, like, they can do a situation where if she loses, they can, like, do another, they can do a match. Like, they can get away with this feud, like, going probably even to Mania. Or maybe even past Mania.
Well,
but
see, the thing about that is this isn't the first interaction that Alexa Bliss has had with Naomi. Before Naomi was out, they had a little mini feud with each other that they could have definitely done
Naomi.
Something with. And they won't even talk about it now. Like they say, weird. They say Naomi has pinned Alexa Bliss twice. Hell, Naomi has pinned Alexa Bliss more than they're including when they say she pinned Alexa Bliss twice. They're only including the victories that she's had over her as champion. They're not even including the victories that she had over her. What was the show? Was it Backlash or No Mercy? I forget. But the one where. Yeah, the one where Becky Lynch was injured and she couldn't defend the championship, and Alexa Bliss was preparing herself for a championship match, and Naomi comes out, and then Naomi ends up pinning Alexa Bliss. They could have made something out of that and tied that to what's going on right now, but for some reason, they're not.
But like I said, I you got to keep the belt on Alexa Bliss. Because you got to keep that momentum going. Again, Jay, like I said, if they can build up Alexa Bliss enough, she can be that champion that just beating the fan favorites is enough to get her enough heel heat to where it's that she'll be a great heel champion. And I just can't wait to see. But yeah, I got Alexa Bliss winning this one.
I'm going to go with Naomi. She talked about on Talking Smack a few weeks ago. Yeah. Her hometown of Orlando, Florida, her coming down that ramp.
That's normally a bad sign.
I mean, hell, I just want to see her dance down the ramp with the championship. Whatever happens in the match happens. I just want that moment. Like, I want to feel the glow on the way to the ring with the title.
Think about it, though. Three women's matches on a show. When was the last time we saw that?
I'm sure we got some fact checkers out there that could check that. Probably it never? I don't know. We'll see. Somebody in the comments, let us know. Is this the first time that this has happened? And if not, when's the last time? Because I know it's been a while. It's been a while. Okay. What do we have up? Next, a handicap match. Kalisto and Apollo Crews versus Dolph Ziggler.
This match makes no fucking sense whatsoever. It makes
Apollo Crews and Kalisto look like fucking chumps.
No. I'll give you a perfect phrase for anybody who knows or watches Sanford and Son. Dummies. That's what they look like.
Chumps, man.
Here's a quote. This is a major quote. Super dummies. that's what they're like. Like seriously, like this. When I heard Daniel Bryan make this match, I'm like, why am I supposed to feel bad? Why am I supposed to cheer that the heel is going to be in a 2-on-1 handicap match against two jabronis, unfortunately, in Apollo Crews? And Kalisto, when Dolph Ziggler, I am sorry, but this heel turn has been so weak. It has been very weak because he hasn't gotten better. He's still losing. Like, seriously, when you make a heel turn, the heel turn happens for a purpose. And when the heel turn is made, that person's supposed, their character dynamic is supposed to change. They're supposed to be gaining momentum. They're supposed to be elevated a certain way, but yet Dolph is still in the same position he was at before the heel turn. And honestly, like, seriously, again, why am I supposed to be happy that the heel is in a handicap match, and why am I supposed to cheer the two faces? Like, seriously, 2-on-1 handicap match. If the roles were reversed, then I get it. But when you have it the other way around, it just makes the baby faces look weak. And
like
honestly,
punks.
Yeah, and if Dolph loses, it makes him look weak. So I seriously don't see, like, what's the point of having this? And honestly, for the last month, it feels as if these guys have been cycling, like the never-ending cycling. There just hasn't been any substance to this whatsoever. I honestly hope Dolph Ziggler does win just so we can get away from this, because just send Apollo and Kalisto back to NXT, because Kalisto gets no reaction from the crowd. Apollo Crews barely gets any reaction from the crowd, and Dolph Ziggler is just a Shawn Michaels wannabe who needs to take those damn skinny ass tights off. But I can't stand this.
Yeah, this is what you get in Trump's America, man. Mm-hmm.
No. Well, tell that
to
Kalisto.
You gotta take that for what you will.
Tell that to Kalisto.
Okay. I don't know about this one, so we're just gonna move on.
It's gonna be a bad match. It's gonna be bad. You know what would be funny though? What if one of them automatically turned? What if Kalisto or Apollo just turned on each other and then joined Ziggler?
That would make them seem like even bigger punks than they are right now. And yeah. Everybody leaves that one looking terrible. So
there you go.
Okay, and we have Luke Harper versus the 2017 Royal Rumble winner.
I'm sorry, I'm not even laughing at the math. I'm just laughing at the fact that you just said Randy Orton is the 2017 winner of the Royal Rumble.
At least Roman Reigns didn't win. That's what most people are thinking. So they're fine that Randy Orton won, just as long as it wasn't Roman Reigns. So it's okay.
See, this just shows you how fickle fans are. That just shows that it's fine. But yeah, I'm actually fine with this match. I mean, we saw it a few weeks ago on SmackDown, and I gotta say, I really enjoyed Luke Harper's promo from SmackDown Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed it. Like, at least he's showing some character development, which is what I always beg for from WWE. And at least Luke Harper, they are, I don't know if this is like a slow burn face turn, but I would tell you this, if they're doing it, it's definitely a hell of a lot better than they tried to do with Seth Rollins. But I will say this though, that moment from the match that Randy Orton and Cena had when Bray was interfering and Luke Harper made that run in, that discus clothesline was that had some malice to it, like, holy crap. Yeah, I got to go with Orton because he won the Royal Rumble. You got to keep his momentum. Even though it was fine for Cena to pin him, you got to keep that momentum. But it is kind of weird seeing Luke Harper has a little bit of momentum since he just turned face that you got to beat him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, Randy Orton is going to win this one. And this is another chapter in the continuing saga of the Wyatt family and their, and well, I don't know if they're really imploding. It's just Luke Harper. They casted him off to the side. Bray Wyatt hit the upgrade button, went from Luke Harper. No, he went from Eric Rowan to Luke Harper, then from Luke Harper to Randy Orton. So yeah, Bray Wyatt has been making some big moves, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Big moves. And yeah, honestly, I think Eric Rowan is supposed to come back eventually. I hope he does team with Harper because that adds another tag team to that division, number one, because those two are going to need each other when Eric Rowan gets back. And it's just, you know, it's funny.
Or at least Eric Rowan is going to need Luke Harper because Luke Harper could go on his own. But, yeah, Eric Rowan is a little bit of help.
Let me ask this question. I mean, we've seen the character development from Harper pretty much since the Rumble. Like, he's actually been showing some signs of conflicting, like doesn't know what to do, actually striking at Bray. I'm actually really liking this, but I don't know what they can do with Luke Harper as a singles guy because we saw what happened the last time when they did that. He didn't really stand out as much, even when he was the IC champion, and that honestly should not have happened. But if you really think about it, Luke Harper has probably had the most success out of all the members of the Wyatt family.
Yeah, I don't think Bray Wyatt has won he hasn't won a title since he's been Bray Wyatt, has he?
Well, he won the tag team titles, but...
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that. Shit, that was... Yeah, that was pretty recently, so...
Yeah, you think Harmon needs to change up what he looks like in order to, like, stand out more? Because he's just so ingrained with
that. What can he change it
into? Why not actually go back and go look at some Bruiser Brody tapes? I don't know. Just change it up.
With the boots with the fur?
Yeah. Just got to cover that damn bald spot on his head, then we'll be good.
No, I like the rough and ragged look of Luke Harper. I like it.
Yeah. What we got now?
And our main event, the Elimination Chamber match for the WWE Championship, John Cena the champ versus AJ Styles versus Dean Ambrose versus The Miz versus Bray Wyatt versus Baron Corbin. As I said at the top of the show, this match is stacked from front to back, and I just know that this is going to be a freaking awesome match. I can feel that this is going to be an awesome match.
You want to know what, and what's interesting about this, they threw a bunch of statistics out. Cena has the most experience out of everybody in the chair match, and I think there's only two people that have been in the chamber that are participating in this match, Cena and Miz, because Corbin hasn't been in it, Ambrose hasn't been in it, Wyatt hasn't been in it, and AJ Styles, he hasn't been in it. So it's like you got a lot of new faces, a lot of new blood that is, that might literally be on the canvas of that that chamber. And I heard it's supposed to be a noon chamber. I don't know what that means, but I really hope that doesn't go blue. Can you imagine if
that's way too corny. Way too corny.
Have you forgotten what company we're talking about?
For a second, I did.
I'm looking forward to this match. I think it's going to be good, but honestly, I only see two people winning this.
AJ and Cena?
No. Cena and Bray.
Oh, okay.
I only see those people winning because I just do not see WWE giving John Cena the 16th World Championship run and then having him lose it 2 weeks later. Mm-hmm. Like that just really doesn't make sense. And honestly, you've heard the reports that the reason Orton won the Rumble is because they want to do Bray Wyatt versus Orton for the championship at Mania, which I don't know why.
See, that makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. I don't know what the hell they see in this Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton stuff, because there is a point in time where SmackDown, it was just firing on all cylinders, knocking it out of the friggin' park, and the only dark spot on the show was the Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton feud, but they invested so much time in it, and it's doing something to somebody in WWE backstage that it ain't doing to me. And I just want to know, what do they see? What's going on? Like, I'm going to need them. You know how we analyze stories and stuff? I want to see them do an interview. Whoever that person is, let us know what's going on. Because I don't see it. And if it's so damn good that you're going to take the championship away from that orbit of AJ Styles and John Cena, I need an explanation. I want to know what the hell is going on.
Yeah, not to mention, you pretty much, out of all the competitors match, you really don't know who goes where for Mania, because I don't see where Dean goes, because I think he's going to be in some IC title clusterfuck. I mean, yeah, it's like, you don't know what they're going to do with The Miz. I mean, you really don't know, like, what they're going to do. Like, AJ Styles is probably the most, he's probably the one guy right now that absolutely has no major spot at WrestleMania this year, and I don't know why.
That would be a shame. It truly would be. After the year that he's had, it really would be. And the rumors that I'm hearing about him and Shane, what?
I don't know what that does. I think for fans out there, for hardcore fans, man, it's going to be like a good hardcore, like, high-flying spot fest, but ultimately, what does that do for Styles? That's what people don't understand. What is that going to do for Styles long term? Because WWE,
a lot of folks don't care about that though. Like, as long as they get a good match, they're fine.
Here's the thing. You know what's funny? And I forgot where I heard this at. I could see there's another scenario that could happen. Cena loses the title or retains the title, and then somebody beats him for it on a SmackDown episode. Because remember, like, just because the chamber happens this Sunday, we're still a good month and a half away from Mania. We should know, because we're going to be at that son of a bitch. But, and it's going to be awesome. Believe me, people, we could tell you the stories we've been talking about, what's going to happen this trip. We would.
Oh, it's going to be so wonderful.
It's just like, there's just so much unknown when it comes to this match. And honestly, ultimately, Jay, I like it.
Yeah,
I love
me
it.
Too. Mm-hmm.
I love it. I'm glad that I can't figure this out, because it is fun to actually figure out for yourself But when you've heard the rumored WrestleMania card, like the one we've been hearing for the last week, it does make you wonder, what in the world? And now I also heard that it's supposed to be John Cena and Nikki Bella versus The Miz and Maryse, which is another reason why I don't think Cena will retain it. Because, like, Jay, Bray is pretty much the only obvious person that could win that if we're talking the Chamber.
And see, that's only obvious from, like, I don't know, because I don't see that on screen. I don't.
Like what?
I know the
champion.
Yeah, I understand how people are like, okay, Bray Wyatt is going to win because the rumors are saying he's going to win, and those rumors gain, like, traction and stuff like that. But I haven't held, just like I didn't get any indication on screen that Randy Orton was going to win the Royal Rumble. So that just seems like a very weird move to make there. But, I mean, you have Bray Wyatt in the match. Baron Corbin, he's been traction lately.
He pinned AJ in the Fatal 4-Way.
AJ Styles. And that was a moment for me. I was like, whoa, because you could tell when I already knew they had Baron Corbin in this position that I think I was talking about Sami Zayn last week when I said he is not he's basically in a position where WWE, if they wanted to flip the switch on him and do something with him and move him up a few tiers, then they can do it. I felt like that with Baron Corbin pinning AJ Styles, that was WWE flipping that switch, saying, okay, it's time. And the guy looks legit. Every single thing that he does on Talking Smack, it's wonderful. I love that character, the way that he portrays the character. I am a big Baron Corbin fan, and I'm telling you guys, wake up. Do not sleep on Baron Corbin. Going to come a time. This guy's going to tear it up in the main event. And I think
he
step closer to it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, and let's definitely not discount The Miz and the Daniel Bryan. Well, let's talk about that. Let's real quick talk about that Miz and Daniel Bryan segment from Tuesday Night on SmackDown. That was just some great stuff. I will say I'm not really big on the whole my hand goes up, your mouth goes shut thing. I'm not too big on that, but yeah, they just naturally have a great chemistry together on the mic. And you know what's funny? Daniel Bryan mentioned in an interview that he's not necessarily closing the door on like a payoff to this whole Miz thing. And honestly,
you can't do that, Daniel. You can't be getting folks' hopes up like that, because I'm sitting here saying I don't see how this could end in any other way. Other than Daniel Bryan and The Miz getting in the ring and duking it out. But you say something, you say, oh, I'm not.
Stop teasing.
I'm closing the top. It could happen. You're getting my. Keep doing this, Daniel.
Sorry. My bad. Let's actually give credit to Dean Ambrose this past Tuesday night when he said that The Miz looked like a shoe.
He looked like a shoe.
That's what I heard him say. Like, when Dean's like that, I like it when he's like that. Not like comedy or like props Dean. Like, when he's just edgy and he can make jokes out of it. So, yeah, you got a lot of great characters in this match. A lot of dynamics that could go down. If they say it's going to be a new chamber, I am really interested to see how they're going to do this match, because you know they're going to use that structure in some way, shape, form, or fashion. But if you've actually looking over like the past couple of years when they've done the chamber, they haven't really gone balls to the wall crazy. Like, to me, I automatically think like the best Elimination Chamber match will be the 2002 one. That's always going to be the best one, in my opinion, because that was the first. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they structure this match out.
Yeah, and I think it helps a great deal, the fact that this is the only Elimination Chamber match on the show. That's going to help it out a lot.
I heard a lot of people wanting a women's Elimination Chamber match, and I'm like, no. We gave them Hell in a Cell. We can't give them the Chamber. That's too much. That's asking for too much, in my opinion.
Yeah, I just think that's unnecessary in this case.
Yeah,
I like the fact that we have one Elimination Chamber, and it me saying that, it's not like, oh, as they would say, you know, you had your time in the spotlight, back to your places. I'm not saying that. It's just that I like the fact that there is only one Elimination Chamber, so I'm fine with the women's matches being spread out. Anything more to say on Elimination Chamber?
No, I think it's a thing. I think it's gonna be one of these shows like where I'm not expecting too much, because traditionally the SmackDown pay-per-views have been much better than the Raw pay-per-views, other than No Mercy, which I didn't think was that good of a show in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think it'll be a decent show. It'll be an easy sit through to watch.
Alrighty, anything more to say at all before we head off air?
What are your thoughts on this? Real quick, congratulations to the Rock and Roll Express on being the tag team that's named for this year's WWE Hall of Fame. My love of tag team wrestling loves no bounds, and they're part of that. But what have you thought? Like, have you actually seen the rumored WrestleMania card? Like, have you seen the full card itself?
If I'm being completely honest, I'm so out of tune with wrestling news sites.
Yeah,
I haven't been on.
Well,
I didn't see about that Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt, and then the
John Cena.
Haven't seen much else.
Big Show versus Shaq. That's pretty much a done deal. AJ Styles versus Shane O'Mac, that's another one. Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton, that's another one. For the WWE title, John Cena, Nikki Bella versus The Miz and Maurice, I told you. Seth Rollins versus Triple H. Seth Rollins versus Triple H, that apparently might still go down. Reigns versus Wyatt. And then the main event for the Universal Championship. Reigns versus Taker. Versus Taker. And the main event for WrestleMania, apparently Goldberg and Lesnar for the Universal title.
I'm sure you could throw Chris Jericho versus...
Chris Jericho versus Kevin Owens for either the Universal title or the United States title. Yeah, I mean, that card... I'm like, other than five matches that are legit, I don't know what to say about that card. And again, let me stress this. It's a rumored card. It's the rumored card, but knowing WWE, it'll probably be the set card.
I'll say this. I hope Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar is for the Universal Championship.
Please explain to the people real quick before we have the IWC come out of their boots.
Bring it. Because I got something for you. I'm telling you, if Goldberg wins that championship from Kevin Owens, I don't want to hear one goddamn complaint. If you are the type of person that has sat back and talked about how awesome and how funny Kevin Owens was, and you haven't held him to a higher standard than being a comedian, I don't want to hear one complaint about a part-timer winning the title. I don't. And I'm just going to... I pretty much talked about it all last week, though. The reason why I want a part-timer to win the Universal Championship, because I think the title... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Jay, I'm just warning you, because it's like the IWC, when it comes to the indie stars, and much like the TNA diehards, they just attack you just as soon as you say something bad about TNA.
Josh, you know me, right? When have I ever been scared? Never.
Never.
Bring it. Look, we'll get there. We'll cross that bridge. When we'll get there. First, I got to wait and see if he's actually going to lose the title. But yeah, I got a few things to say about Mr. Kevin James. So,
Yeah. Oh, boy.
That's pretty much it on my end.
Okay, guys, thank you for tuning in to the PWF Empire podcast. Oh, really quickly before we head off air, we're working behind the scenes. We got some stuff coming up. I know it's been I've been saying that for a while, but we are working and plans are being put into motion. And with that being said, if you are a fan of this podcast, I highly suggest that you subscribe to us on iTunes. You can find the podcast on iTunes by going to the iTunes store and searching for PWF Empire. Go ahead to the iTunes store, search for PWF Empire, subscribe to it. It's 100% completely free. The episodes will be automatically downloaded, and you can enjoy this podcast or continue to enjoy it, because once the other content makes its way to YouTube, the podcast is going to be exclusively a podcast. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be on YouTube anymore, because this is just up here in place of everything else, just so we have something on the channel and it isn't completely dead. But once we actually start uploading videos again to the channel, then the podcast is going to be exclusively a podcast and not on YouTube at all. So make sure you subscribe on iTunes. And that's it for us. I'll be back on Sunday with a review of Elimination Chamber. Until then, catch you later. Peace.
Later days.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.